good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much. I hope you're doing well also.
I am. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, I did.
They go by fast, but what can I say?
We had a little bit of summer, which was nice. Actually, it was hot.
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot.
Yeah, it was, you know, we had over, you know, with the, what do they call it, with the heat index and everything, it was 100.
Yeah. Yep. So. Yeah, and my son called them Colorado Springs. They had 15 inches of snow there the night before last and tore down the timber and you know, all kinds of stuff. And he heard a noise in his garage. Now, he lives right in Colorado Springs now, mind you. Noise in his garage, walked outside and had a brown bear in his garage.
It was trying to get warm.
I guess. He said, Dad, that'll put a scare in you. So anyway, yeah, really strange weather. I mean, it really is. And May, the end, last part of May, getting that kind of snow in Colorado Springs, that's, well, what can I say? It is what it is.
It is what it is.
That's right.
But, and, you know, living here on the Eastern Shore, I mentioned it last week on the program, $5 a gallon gas really doesn't mean anything to people yet. You didn't mean it to anybody this weekend that was down here at the shore. There were so many people.
Wow.
More, it just seemed like there, and even there was comments from those who organized some of the events and so forth, said, yep, there's a lot of people down here. And so gasoline prices, and it was, they had a very, every year they have on, about this time of the year, they have something that's called cruising, and it's just a whole bunch of old vehicles and so forth, and come in, ride around, parade around, and all that kind of stuff. And hey, it was packed to the core, so $5 gasoline, nope, didn't matter to those folks.
Maybe I'm just weird, but it's touching me quite a bit. I mean, I don't go unless I have to now. It's only, it's 4:45 here, but I went to my son, my grandson's graduation and to church this weekend, and a total mileage. I drove quite a few miles both ways, but I put $120 worth of gas in that truck I'm driving because the car is still not fixed. And I'm thinking, that hurts. That hurts big time. $120, yep. That's a lot of money.
Yep.
So anyway, I can't believe people are noticing that.
Nope. Didn't seem to bother people who were on that took the weekend for vacation. So maybe people will do what they have to do to go on vacation this year, and you know, maybe they're cutting back in other ways, but didn't seem that way, but anyway, and these are the things that you have to pay attention to and notice. I can remember the last time gasoline prices got this high, but there were other things going on too. You had the stock market crashing at the same time, and there was a lot of other things going on, and I was living in State College at that time. You'd go to town at night, and it was dead. It was like a ghost town. Nobody was driving anywhere. And not experiencing it this time. So
well, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. You're right. I mean, according to what I've been reading from people that's supposed to know, but after August it'll be over $6 a gallon. I think people start noticing, and if it goes up to what they're expecting in Washington State to put the pumps up for another digit, which means they're expecting $10 a gallon or more, I think people will notice that.
You would think so. You would absolutely think so. Mm. But gold did well today. It was up $6.70 right now in the New York spot price after market, $1,854. Silver didn't do quite as well. It tried, $21.86, down 2 pennies. Platinum was down a dollar at $963. Palladium, though, was up over 2%, $2,084. USDX, you're looking at down 0.92, so that's beginning to fall pretty significantly. Remember, it was 104. Right now, we're 102. Crude oil was up 30 cents at 110. Paper markets today, The Dow added 600 points. This is interesting. It went up 600 points, came down to 500, and it's just now recovering here in this last half hour of trading. But it didn't move all day. It just like went up 600 and stayed there. Gold went up, stayed there, and fluctuate a tiny bit, but not any big moves. You had the S&P up 1%. Well, anyway, let's go over the numbers. The Dow was basically up 2% at 31,880. The S&P was up 1.86%, 3,973. The NASDAQ was up 1.5% at 11,535. Asian markets were strong, except the Hang Seng. Europe was also pretty much all trading over 1%. The FTSE was over 1.5%. Bonds, 10-year yield, 0.077, 2.86. That was up. And oil, we'll just take a peek at natural gas, 8.742. That was up 8%, over 8% for natural gas. So it's a pretty big jump for natural gas. And now we're beginning to see the divide between the WTI and Brent. Now you're looking about a $3 spread. So even though it does happen, and I did a little research, they can trade at the same price, but it's unusual for them to do so. So to me, again, it just shows the unpredictability, the how things are not functioning properly, the discourse in these markets, where it doesn't seem where anything truly one on one really doesn't equal two in these markets anymore. So, and that's a good time for to get out. There's lots of articles and people commenting that there was a Fed insider saying that the Fed is not going to save stocks this time. It's not by choice that they wouldn't save the stocks. They can't save the stocks. That's, you know, totally different. But people still continue to stay there and move into these stocks thinking that, you know, the government will bail them out. So I don't think so, but we'll see what happens. Automakers are already jacking up prices on electric vehicles to bake in rising material costs. So if you didn't think you can afford one now, well, now you really can't afford one. And so, again, things are not going down in price. We had talked last week, Butch, about there was the prices in automobiles, used vehicle wholesale prices. We were talking about how they were dropping. Well, they're beginning to rise again.
Yep.
And so that's not staying down, you know. So it's and this isn't going to be it's going to be a very difficult situation that we see. And again, the problem is, you know, we don't know when things are going to happen. And and we still see truckers are facing a crisis as the fuel prices continue to soar.
And now they're starting to face shortages also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens on that. In a little bit, I'm going to share that Americans already this year, well, then I'll share this story in a second. Americans this year in total have lost $20 trillion of their worth.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And we're only 5 months into almost 5 months into a year. And 20 trillion already out of the pockets of the Americans. Shoo.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
And you know what? It's like, you know, it's like the U.S. wants Russia to default on their debt. They keep pushing on these sanctions. And now the U.S. Treasury Department is looking to tighten sanctions again this week on Russia, threatening about a $1 billion owed to bondholders for the rest of the year. And again, putting the country once again on the edge of default. It's like that's what they want them to do. And it's Janet Yellen said last week she's unlikely to extend an exemption expiring on Wednesday that allows Russia to make payments on its foreign currency bonds to U.S. investors. That decision will close all loopholes allowing any such transactions. So far, the world's biggest energy exporter has been able to send funds through the plumbing of the international financial system, staving off Russia's first foreign default in a century. But every step in the transactions become a little more complicated since Russia's foreign currency reserves were frozen. So they've been finding a way to get around it, but the U.S. Treasury, Miss Janet Yellen, seems to bent on, you know, making them default. So where does it go from there? You know, it's, you know, why don't this administration just come out and if they want war with Russia, just do it and get it done and over with, you know? I mean, I don't want to see it.
I think they want to make Russia look like the bad guy even more than they've already done.
They do.
You know, they want to justify us going in or this war. We'll cover that in a little bit, too, because one of the Russians, we'll say thinkers of Russian businesses saying that this war is going to escalate into a war with NATO. He said it's going to, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So we will see.
Yeah. So lots of things are going on, and they're crazy things, Butch. I know you got something there on this monkey.
We'll get a lot more. You go right ahead. You go right ahead.
No, I'm pretty much, I just wanted to give a bunch of some of the, you know, headlines out there. We have the Davos going on right now, the elite, when they try to, you know, make decisions for you and me and over the politicians and our governments and so forth. But that certainly is, it's interesting sometimes to see what they, at least what they tell us that they're talking about. We know what they really talk about doesn't get released to us, but we can pretend. But IMF managing director Georgieva, she said today that the war, tightening financial conditions and price shocks for food in particular have clearly darkened the outlook in the months since, though she is not yet expecting them. Of course, they're never going to admit to a recession. You know, how silly. We're probably already in one, heading to a depression, but who knows? So they already know how things are looking, but they just want to keep it from everybody out there. But
well, you know, it's amazing to me they say we're not in a recession. And I do know that many, many people are having a hard time keeping up with their expenses. So maybe it doesn't seem like them, but people that are suffering financially, that's a recession to them. And that's so they can say what they want to. It has to be at least the lower half of the income people in this country, lower half of the scale, are having to tighten their belt a little bit to make everything work. So that's a recession to them. I don't know what they call recession overall, but many people is already suffering the pain. You follow what I'm saying on that?
Absolutely, I do. And it's funny. The European Central Bank, they're beginning to start raising rates in July and exit the sub-zero territory. And it's so funny. Like, exiting negative rates is a good thing to get excited about. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I know.
Anyway,
they've only been
in negative rates for how many years? It's all a joke, but anyway. What do you have, Butch? What do you want to start out with?
I've got 4 minutes. Wow.
You have four
minutes.
Golly.
So I want to share this real quickly. My wife, Marcia, happened to find my dad's tax returns from 1953. I have it in my hand right now, Form 1040A. It was a one-page form. The one page of this stuff is one his name, my mom's name, my brother's name, dependents on the amount, and how much tax he took out. They got 10%. My dad made, in 1953, worked in the coal mines, Bethlehem Mines. He made $4,817.55. Now, folks, let that sink in. We'll just say $4,800. So I want to see what that worked out today in today's figures. In 2022, that $4,800 in 1953 is worth $51,974. Now, Melody, would you call that inflation? What would you call that?
Well, I call it something.
I mean, almost $52,000 is what it takes today to equal $4,800 in 1953. Now, I know many, many, many people that don't make $52,000 a year right now. How about you?
I do.
So they're making less today than they were in 1953. Now, folks, this is for real. This is not, I didn't make this up. I'm looking at it right now. He paid $428.80 in income tax, 10% of what he made. He got back $208 of that. I'm looking at the form in my hand right now. So don't tell me. Now, maybe it looks like we're prospering more. We all have cars. But we've got it all on debt. It's all what most people are still paying for them. And the dollar's been eating away every day. Oh, you may be making $51,000, $52,000. Maybe it's more than that. You may be making $100,000. But in actual money in 1953, if you're making $100,000, you're only making about $10,000 in 1953. Because at that point, they still had real money in their hand. It was called silver. Melody, to me, this speaks barrels of information as to why we need to have precious metals. I mean, that is, to me, makes perfect sense. If you could multiply $4,800 by 10, and you still wouldn't get up to where it ought to be in today's wages, that I tell you, folks, what silver was worth back then in real money. You had a silver, you had a dollar bill backed by silver. You had real money in your hands. And it's equal to $52,000 today in fiat currency. And I'd say that's probably being generous. It's probably worth more than that. You have anything you want to add to that before we go to break? And we're going to break in a second.
No, I think that's a great example to show, you know, what your dollars would purchase back then. And you got to remember, too, that, I mean, look how better off they were making that income, I think. Because, I mean, you could buy, they ate steaks, T-bones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, absolutely. For, you know, 20 cents.
And on top of that, he paid 10% income tax. What do you pay today in $52,000 income tax?
Yeah.
25% at least?
Probably.
So, folks, they have ripped us off, and we still, for some reason, people in America haven't caught on yet.
So that was a decent living then.
It was. We weren't wealthy,
But it was a decent living.
Yes, it was. Yes,
compared to the $52,000 today and try to do the same thing today.
You couldn't do
it. With those dollars. I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And hey, Butch, did you know that we're going to defend Taiwan?
I heard that.
Yeah.
Biden said this. Yes, we're going to. That's our agreement, he said.
Yeah. What agreement is that? I did not know that either. Doesn't seem too many people do.
Yeah, even the White House didn't know it.
Except Biden and whatever's in his head. But, yeah, we're going to defend Taiwan. We're going to, you know, defend Ukraine. Yeah.
And you want to hear something even better than that. Governor Newsom says he hopes that Harris becomes president. Aren't you excited about that prospect?
Well, maybe he's trying to win her back.
Could be.
Wasn't he the one that was with her? No, I'm thinking. I'm thinking of.
You're thinking about somebody else there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Donald Trump's girlfriend.
I know
that was married to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he said he hopes Harris gets to become
Donald
president.
Trump's folks, son. His son.
Donald Trump's son, yes.
Yeah.
They'll be, we're in a mess. But, you know, I was talking about this article that I looked at. And I thought, I looked at it two or three times. I thought, I'm not reading this right. Americans have lost $20 trillion since the start of 2022. That just sounds unreal, Melody. Citing estimates from J.P. Morgan over the weekend, Bloomberg wrote, that courtesy of a Biden administration terrified of what soaring inflation will mean for the Democrats in the midterms, and the Fed that is determined to do anything, even crash the market and spark a recession, to do Joe Biden's kill inflation bidding. The U.S. faces a new scary threat, a plunge in wealth, which JPM estimates at least $5 trillion and could reach $9 trillion by year end. In short, the world's richest nation is waking up in an unpleasant and unfamiliar situation. It's getting poorer. And worst of all, it's getting poorer at the behest of its own leaders. Since the start of the year, the S&P 500 index is down 18%, the NASDAQ 100 has lost 27%, and the Bloomberg index of cryptocurrencies has plunged 48%. That all amounts to a wealth shock that is set to drag or grow. On growth in the coming year. J.P. Morgan economist led by Michael Fraley wrote on a note, in a note Friday. Of course, this is not news to regular readers who have known about this one unpleasant side effect of Biden's phobia for higher prices. We pointed out as much almost 2 weeks ago, $20 trillion in household net worth wiped away in 2022. So I don't know how she could even say that. That's rough. It means that U.S. households have been about $20 trillion in net worth disappear under Joe Biden, a loss far greater than under any other U.S. president in history. That is a lot of money out of Americans' pockets. I mean, it really is. I thought you may want to hear that, Mel. I mean, don't tell me somebody's not feeling that pinch. Somebody has to be.
You would think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you would think. But, you know, people still get their... their quarterly statements or their monthly statements, and you know, you just hang in there. It'll come back.
It will come back.
You'll get it back. Just hang in there.
That's what they all want to believe. And but you know, it's I think too, it's just it hadn't set in yet on the American people that what kind of condition we're in. They're seeing it, but I think like you said, they're all hoping what's going to change next month. It's going to, you know, I was told the other day by a lady said, "Well, our gas prices will come down again." I said, "They may come down again, sweetheart, but it's not going to be in the very near future." And when, by the time gas prices affect you, you'll probably be driving electric cars, whether you want to or not. So this is where we are. And I don't like it, but it is what it is. I mean, I can't help that.
Well, the thing what people don't understand, you know, with inflation and so forth, is you have a lot. I was reading today a lot of these oil companies and so forth. A lot of them are going to be going out of business because they can't afford to purchase the things that they need in order to go forward. So it has this domino effect. So that means supplies, productions are going to decrease, not increase. So that means it just pushes the prices of our energy costs higher.
Of course. When the government muzzles the oil companies, and I'm not saying they're not greedy and don't need some control, but when they muzzle them down to the point they can't produce, what happens then?
What happens then? The prices of gasoline, you know, they go out of business. Price of gasoline and everything else goes higher and higher. So how high are they going to have to raise the interest rates to offset the inflation?
I agree.
Are they going to have to raise the rates to 5%, 6%, 7%? And then what happens? So, they lost their tools in order to patch things up. So it goes on another year, another decade, or whatever it might be. So, and you know what? People get used to paying $5, and I'm just going to round it out to $5 a gallon for gasoline. So if it drops to $4, they're happy.
yeah, that's
prices
amazing.
Went down. Prices went down. It's only $4 now. Oh, goody, I'm not paying $5.
Yeah, it's amazing how we justify that in our minds. It really is.
And it's not any different than when we see the shrinking of the contents of packages.
Oh, true. I mean,
they're very clever in fooling people, and people don't pay attention. You know, they'll just say, "Oh, gee, I bought that box of cereal. It used to last a week. Now it seems like it's only lasting 3 days." Well, yeah, they just shrunk the ingredients, the amount of product that you got in that cereal box, you know, by 10%.
That's a sneaky way to do it, but it works.
Yep. It works. Same
the
price.
The box is the same size.
Yep. They'll keep the price the same, but you get a whole lot less.
Yep, that's true.
And they fooled you for so many years.
Oh, my. And accumulated how much over the years doing that? It's amazing. But Wells Fargo CEO warns things are still going to get worse before getting better. You know, that, and to me, that's optimistic. I don't know if they're going to get better or not financially. I think with this idea of a great reset, they have something planned. But anyway, there's no doubt in my mind that we're about to enter a recession very soon. It may not be reflected in official numbers. You may not realize we're in a recession until months later. Everything is still much more expensive today. Gas prices continue to rise to new highs. For 10 consecutive days, we've seen record highs in gas prices. Let's go, Brandon. Inflation is at 40-year high, increasing 8.3% year over year in April. And, folks, that's really low. Did you receive an 8.3% raise in your wages since April of last year? If not, then you're now making less money than you were 1 year ago. The stock market is tanking, has been dropping consistently since the end of March. In fact, a rare feature is noticeable on the charts. If you look at the S&P 500 weekly chart, for example, you will see that unless we have a massive rally on Friday, this will be the seventh consecutive red candle on the weekly chart. Six consecutive red candles on the weekly chart is a rare spectacle, but much less seven. To give you an idea of how bad it is, back when the pandemic hit and the market crashed in February 2020, there were only five consecutive red candles on the weekly chart. In the midst of the housing market crash in 2008 was the last time that we saw six consecutive red candles. That was followed up later in the year with another five consecutive candles. The last time we saw seven consecutive candles was during the dot-com bubble that bled over into 2001, in which we actually saw eight. Well, now that you have a brief history of the stock market, CEO of Wells Fargo, Charles Scharf, said that it is essentially inevitable that we're going to have some kind of recession. And I hope it ends with recession. I don't know that it will. I don't know that that's what that we could go into what we call maybe depression. I don't know, Melody, but it is what it is, and we see it happening. And the next article I'll share in a minute, the pandemic created a new billionaire every 30 hours as millions brace for extreme poverty. Did you happen to see that headline?
No, I didn't.
It's phenomenal. The super rich have rigged the system with impunity for decades, and now they're reaping the benefits. Oxfam International warns. Oxfam International has a new report out today that highlights a rapidly widening gap between the few ultra-rich and the world's poorest. The report titled Profiting from Pain found that during the first 2 years of the pandemic, a new billionaire was minted every 30 hours, almost one a day. The total of 573 of the world's richest became billionaires during that time frame. On the flip side, in 2022, Oxfam expects 3 million people to fall into extreme poverty every 33 hours, nearly the same rate as new billionaire admitted. The astonishing rate that people the world over are set to fall into extreme poverty, 263 million people in 2022 alone, is due to the rapidly rising cost of living, including everything from the cost of energy to cost of food. While the billionaires who control these assets will profit even more, hundreds of millions could be priced out of staying alive, Oxfam warns. That's a pretty serious threat, in my opinion. I mean, then I kind of think they're right. So, I don't know, Melody. I mean, I thought that was kind of strange. Almost at the same rate, we have new billionaires and more people falling into extreme poverty. I thought that was just kind of an article that ought to explain some things, that the differences between, we'll say, the elite and the common people.
Well, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's been
true.
Around for a long time, and it doesn't change.
And they did it on the backs of the poorest people. You know that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it always boils down to the consumer. Unless you're one of the wealthy, that consuming can start to be really hard on you. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you warned people about cryptocurrency, by the way?
Oh, let me count thy ways. I don't know.
Well, that would take another program just to do that. But this is what's being said. I'm reading it. I'm looking at it. But again, these headlines almost make you do a double take. Crypto worth nothing, but centralized digital currency is the future, central bank head says. It's worth nothing, but we're going to make it the currency for the future. The head of Europe's central bank has claimed the crypto assets are worth nothing, just like you've been saying forever, but that a future centrally controlled digital euro would be valuable. Christine Lagarde, the head of the EU's European Central Bank, has claimed that crypto assets are worth nothing and are based on nothing. Well, she told the truth. However, by contrast, the central bank czar went on to reassure the public that a centralized digital currency was coming and that it would be better than crypto and that the ECB itself would supposedly be able to guarantee its value. The centralized bank is going to guarantee the value of crypto. Why hasn't the Fed guarantee the value of a fiat currency, which is worth nothing? Folks, you can't guarantee nothing with nothing. You can't do it. What are you going to guarantee it with? More fiat currency? What does the Fed have to offer you that guarantees anything? Are they going to say, well, if your dollar goes bad, we'll give you gold? No. So according to a report by Politico, Lagarde said that while she had no experience investing in crypto, her son, who apparently has dabbled with blockchain-related assets, has not seen much return. I have said all along the crypto assets are highly speculative, very risky assets, Lagarde is reported saying in an interview. My very humble assessment is that it's worth nothing. It's based on nothing. There's no underlying assets to act as an anchor of safety. Meanwhile, Lagarde claimed that a digital euro, which would be centrally controlled by the banking czar and her ECB colleagues, would be a much better asset. The day when we have the central bank digital currency or digital euro, I will guarantee it, she said, so the central bank will be behind it. I think this is vastly different from any of those things. Melody, again, how does a bank back an asset that's worth nothing? With what? How did
with
they do
the,
it?
with the promise of a bailout from the Federal Reserve.
Well, there you go. So they would just make some more digital nothing and give it to the people. Like we're printing dollars through this this pandemic. We printed dollars, give people to bail them out of their hard spots. They made the money worth less, the paper worth less, but we bailed them out anyway. And now inflation's eating us alive. And we won't blame it on Russia, but this started long before Russia ever did anything. So here we are. Here we are, folks.
Nobody seems to know it.
But it's just common sense. It makes me kind of just, my stomach just kind of shrivel up and think, this is so easy that a kindergartner could understand it if you just took 5 minutes to explain to him. I know that Roosevelt said we are backing everything with the full faith and credit of the American people. So what's that mean? We have faith in us, so therefore it's good something? It's worth something? I guess that's true. I have faith when I take a $20 bill to the store, they'll give me something for it. Although it's not backed by anything. They think it is. I think it is, apparently. So I buy something with it. It's backed by faith, which is based on nothing. That makes sense, Melody?
Yes, it does, Butch.
Kind of scary, ain't it?
It really is.
So anyway, I don't mean to get carried away here, but I'm amazed that we can't see that. Totally amazed with that.
Yeah, but Butch, we've been conditioned to believe that we can do things with nothing. I mean, that's what credit cards were created for. Look at everything that we can buy for, you know, with digits.
I know. And it's so easy. I mean, it's so simple,
it's
too.
It's so easy. Yeah.
You know, it's painless. Yeah, it's painless until it all comes due. But see, the government can do something we can't do. We have to end up eventually paying what we spend on credit if we want to keep what we got.
That's right.
The government doesn't have to do that. They just keep printing more money.
Yep.
Yeah, simple. Simple answer. And after the break, we're going to discuss something MasterCard introduced that we knew was coming. We knew it was on the way. They finally introduced it. You'll be making payments with your facial scan, folks. I mean, this is already... I mean, talk about it easy. You don't have to stop and check out. You just walk out the door. Remember the show Minority Report?
Yep.
You walked in the door and, hello, Mr. So-and-so. This is on Space Show Day. Folks, this is real. This is a beast system at work. There's no privacy now. In a few years, you'll have no privacy at all in anything when cash is gone.
But what we do have is break, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Would you like to continue, my friend?
Well, now, you're welcome to say something, too, since this year program, you know, you're allowed to talk.
Yeah, well, you know, you're on a roll. It's kind of hard to...
No, I don't mean take over. I really don't, but this...
Oh, yes, you do.
I really don't mean take over. I really don't. But it's just interesting. So much of this stuff is so interesting and such a concept that when you put the pieces together, you think people could see a picture here. There's something coming about that you're probably not going to like. I mean, we're going to a cryptocurrency. We're going to be paying with your face or a facial scan. Don't we see something come together here that we'll have no more paper in the pocket to use, or the cash will be going? Would that mean more control? Could that mean that they'll use this to control us? If we don't behave ourselves, we won't be able to pay our bills? Folks, think about these things a little bit. This is why you need something of value to trade and barter with. Even a can of beans one day might bring in a good premium, and people can't get them any longer because they won't follow the rules. They can't buy them.
Sure.
Think about it. MasterCard introduces controversial biometric payments that require a face scan. I said require a face scan. It's not an option. Amid privacy concerns, payment giant MasterCard is rolling out the controversial biometric payment systems, allowing users to pay with a wave of a hand or a smile at the camera. The payments giant said it was rolling out the biometric checkout programs to speed up checkout time and reduce Anyway, it also claims that biometric systems are more secure and hygienic than debit and credit cards. Once enrolled, there's no need to slow down the checkout queue, searching through their pockets or bag. MasterCard said we're introducing controversial tech. Consumers can simply check the bill and smile into the camera or wave their hand over a reader to pay. We've been hearing this for years, and we knew it was coming eventually. MasterCard was going to be one of the first ones to actually do that. So, it's so convenient, but folks, you won't need cash, you won't need checks, you won't need a credit card. Of course, you won't have any paper money. You'll be under, there'll be no more private transactions. You won't be able to buy something at a yard sale unless you do it with a facial scan, just like you would the store. Everything you purchase, everything you see, everything you do, everything will be totally traced. You won't be able to go to a movie and pay cash to get a ticket. You have to use this so they know you went to the movie on such night, what movie you saw. There's more and more total control. Money, that does make sense, doesn't it?
Don't forget how much popcorn you ate if you're overweight.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Especially if you're overweight and a diabetic, you may get in trouble.
Yep. They won't give you your medication anymore.
It's so simple to see this. Senator Blackburn.
Blackburn. You know what?
Yeah.
But people think that is just absurd, that would never happen, and it's crazy talk and so forth. Well, I'm just going to go back, and I'm not here to start another topic on this, but... people said the same thing when they redefined marriage, that it was no longer between a man and a woman. And we said, you know, pretty soon you're going to have people marrying their cats, their dogs. Oh, that's crazy. No, why would anybody? That's what they're doing.
They are doing it.
So things that seem like it's never going to happen If you look at who's doing it, particularly government, it just takes time, but it happens. It will happen.
Well, now they're
and they
going
will track
to
you.
They will track you. And now they're going, and now folks, this is for real. Go to my website, PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com. Look under Mark the Beast Technology or under Immoral News or Church News. They're discussing people marrying robots. I'm not making this stuff up, folks.
Well, that might not be so bad.
Writer,
that, might not,
do
that, might not be, that might not be so bad, Butch.
The Stepford Wives, remember that show years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll be Stepford Husbands.
You never know.
Yeah, never know.
You never know. But this is how perverted we are and how we walk with our eyes wide open right into this future. Look at this black hole we're walking into. It's going to suck us all into it. And we don't even notice it. But Senator Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee Republican, Biden administration enjoys $5 a gallon gas. They want to control your life. Well, folks, if that isn't obvious by now, but it's not just Biden. This has been going on for a long time through presidents of both calibers. I don't care who they were. All both sides have led us further down this road. But Blackburn said, slammed the Biden administration for shifting to energy dependence and record high inflation. And he did do that. Blackburn argued that the White House wanted the government in control and liked having $5 a gallon gas. People are quite concerned about what's going on with the economy, the price of the pump, the price at the grocery store, Blackburn outlined. They expect this to continue, she added. Look, they didn't want us to be producing energy. They want us to be dependent on other countries. And folks, again, that's been going on for at least 30 or 40 years, longer than that, but it really picked up speed in the last 25 years. They like $5 a gallon gas, and they got it. So they want to hold us here. They like higher inflation. They like higher interest rates. Having hardworking people having more money in the paycheck to take home, that's not their idea of a good economy. They want higher taxes. Remember our Senator Melody said the way that we help the poor people is raise taxes. Remember I shared that story with you? Senator Manchin said, we'll raise taxes. We'll help them out. The point is they want to control your life daylight to dark 24-7. They want higher tax rates, the government in control. This is not where the American people are interested in going. And when you look at the fact that they will not give drill permits, they will not look at domestic production, being energy dominant, that tells you they're not going to deal with higher inflation. And she's right. I have to give Biden did shut down our energy independence. We were well on our way, and that's one thing I'll give Trump a kudos for. He did open up some things where we were starting to produce our own energy and make a change in that. And it's not because America doesn't have the energy, folks. We have vast oil supplies, and they've been tapped. Vast supplies. We never ran out of it. Not in 100 years, 200 years, never. But they won't tap it. I wonder why. Do you think they really want us under control? Any comments, Melody?
No.
And migrants tire of waiting for Title 42's in, surge across border into Texas. Folks, we're like a sieve. We're being flooded. Whether Title 42 ends or not, migrants say they are tired of waiting a surge across Rio Grande into Eagle Pass, Texas, area of operations. As many as 3,600 crossed so far this weekend, eclipsing last weekend's total of 2,800 migrants apprehensions in the Del Rio sector, according to sources operating within U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Border Patrol officers called in all available agents in Eagle Pass on Sunday as increasing numbers of migrants crossed the border, illegally from Mexico into Texas. Sunday evening, a large group of more than 250 migrants crossed near Normandy, Texas, while others streamed across into Eagle Pass. Another group of approximately 300 migrants are crossing the border as this article published, and at a nearby hydro plant, agents found another large group of 100 migrants. That brings a total to more than 700 migrant apprehensions in a couple of hours on Sunday evening. Agents identified most of the migrants crossing on Sunday as Honduran nationals. Some Colombian migrants also crossed. 700 in a couple of hours were apprehended. How many did they not catch? Another question to ask yourself. How many can we absorb?
There was an interesting reporter had gone down to, I think, that area that you just mentioned. And they were talking about how all these, you know, you see these big buildings and so forth, and they're just calling them processing centers, where they come in, they process them, and they go in one door and out the other into the country. It's truly, I mean, they've been doing this for a long time, but I mean, not to the numbers, and just the, at least before, there was always a pretense of
yes,
stopping
yes,
and doing
yes,
something,
yes.
And, you know, we're going to try this, and nothing. Encouragement for them to come here. Helping them fill out the forms, helping them to do this, helping them to do that.
Giving them free phones.
Giving them free plane rides to various parts and bus rides to various parts of the country. And these cities that they go into advertise for them. They want them there. That's the sad thing. And it destroys the cities, the towns. I saw it happen in my hometown. You know, it was never a really wealthy town, but it was a nice town. And the city started, you know, advertising and bringing all of these illegal aliens there that came in on the, you know, they'd bring families, and you'd have, you know, five families in one house. And it just destroyed, it was not the only reason, but it was a big reason. You know, people lost their jobs. You know, it just declined. Now, I am just so saddened and shocked when I drive through my hometown. Now, outside on the skirts of Lebanon, there's nice little subdivisions and things like that. But the inner part, the part that used to thrive, it's like it's not even America.
That part was the heart of the community at one time.
It was the heart of the community. And
you know, the businesses there, but everybody went to, they enjoyed going downtown and shopping. That's no longer there. That's going.
Yeah, one of my high school friends, they used to work in the office that would, you know, give these benefits out. They would have to interview them and so forth. They got cars. They didn't get new cars, but they got cars. She said, and that's when she learned about how much they do get and how the city would advertise to bring them in. And when I lived in Sedalia, Missouri, the same thing. They'd advertise. It's amazing.
Well, that's just something that we've... I guess we don't know about it. Maybe no one know about it. We don't hear much of the news at all. I mean, it's very seldom ever mentioned what's going on in Texas and Arizona, how they're overriding the authorities there and overriding them in the manpower.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough people working for the for ICE or anybody else to get these people turned around. There's not enough people working there. And if they do turn them around, they come right back in again. So this is what we're facing. But here's a different topic, Melody. I hope when I say this, I'm wrong, but I think here we go again. Belgium begins monkeypox quarantines. I guess you may have heard that already. You heard of monkeypox, right?
I have.
Belgium has become the first country to introduce a mandatory, now pay attention, 21-day monkeypox quarantine for those who contact the virus after three cases recorded in the country. Now, so far, they said it's very seldom ever deadly. Very seldom ever deadly. But it's spreading. I already have a case or two in the United States. So what could that be, the next thing in line to shut down our businesses? But it's not deadly to say. But anyway, the infections were all linked to a festival in the port of city of Antwerp, according to the Daily Mail, as Belgium is now one of 14 countries to confirm outbreaks of the viral disease, in addition to suspected but not confirmed cases in Austria and Greece. On Sunday, U.S. President Joe Biden said that the recent spread of monkeypox is something that everybody should be concerned about. It is a certain I'm sorry, is a concern that if it were to spread, it would be consequential, he says, speaking from Ocean Air Base in South Korea, where he was meeting with troops before the Japan leg of his Asia trip. President Joe Biden speaks to media, and he says he goes, Biden is reportedly receiving regular updates, according to National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who told the traveling press to pull that the United States has vaccines available to be deployed. Well, surprise, surprise, vaccines are already here. And as a matter of fact, U.S. buys millions of monkeypox vaccines as Massachusetts man gets infected. So far, they spent $299 million to get 13 million freeze-dried doses of the monkeypox vaccine. The vaccine apparently is not necessarily killed, but it makes you break out in pox. You all know it. You heard chicken pox. Basically, about the same thing. Looks about like the same thing. But they're already preparing for another pandemic. Maybe not as deadly, supposedly, as a COVID, but it's here, and they're discussing it, so maybe we better pay attention, folks. This could be another way to shut us down, especially since you're meeting right now, to give the World Health Organization complete sovereignty over every individual in this world when it comes to health matters. You knew that too, right, Melody?
Well, you know, what's interesting, they also say people over 50 wouldn't need any vaccine, that there were already, because it's most likely we've all had the smallpox vaccine.
We don't have
to worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This can concern me. We're about out of time already. I had some more stories to get, but I guess I'll get on Wednesday when you're not here.
Okay. All righty. Well, maybe I'll just show up to see you.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be kind of fun for change. Love to have you.
I want to thank everyone for joining us today. It was a fast hour. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be good. Good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.